We're here at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting's annual trade talk. With me is one of my favorite people in the whole world, Bob Dineen, who is president and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. And Mr. Dineen, how does it feel to be out of D.C. right now?
Oh, it feels wonderful. You know, the hot air in that city can get a little stifling. So anytime I can get outside the Beltway, I'm embracing that opportunity.
Yeah, it's really cold here, so there can't be any politicians here.
No, absolutely not.
Speaking of D.C., I guess we have our members of Congress back for at least a short period, and there's a duck limping around the Capitol. What do you think they're going to do between now and the end of the year?
Well, it's called lame for a reason. So I don't think the duck is going to be able to get that much accomplished. They will, you know, have to get a budget done, and they'll wrap that up and kick that out pretty easily. I actually do think they'll also get the tax extenders bill done, and that's going to be important. It'll include the biodiesel tax credit and the cellulosic ethanol tax incentive, which would be good to have. Now that you finally have cellulosic ethanol production, it is critically important that they actually be able to take advantage of the tax incentive that has been there for them. So I would view that as an accomplishment, one of the very few that this Congress can claim. It has been the least productive Congress in the history of the country, which is saying something, because the last Congress was the least productive. And so I think this lame duck has been around for a while.
Well, you mentioned the tax extenders. They've expired, correct, at this point? And you mentioned cellulosic ethanol, biodiesel. Why is it so important for them to get passed?
Well, you know, there's a report that came out just yesterday from the International Energy Administration that concluded that petroleum globally is subsidized to the tune of $550 billion. That's B, billion dollars. And these are the most successful and profitable companies in the universe. You know, ExxonMobil really doesn't need anybody's tax dollars to know that they should be drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. You know, Chevron probably doesn't need an encouragement to frack in North Dakota. The marketplace is telling them to do that. But nonetheless, $550 billion across the globe, you know, goes to that very profitable industry. What does the renewable fuels industry have? Today, nothing. You know, so being able to level the playing field in some fashion by giving companies that are now producing a cellulosic ethanol is probably a good first step to providing some balance in there.
Well, and especially since we've seen our first cellulosic ethanol plants actually go online this year.
Absolutely. I had staff just a few weeks ago in Hugoton, Kansas, celebrating with Abengoa the opening of that ethanol facility producing from agricultural waste. But there are others as well. Poet has begun their cellulosic plant. DuPont very soon will open up theirs. You've got INEOS in Florida. You've got many others in the pipeline. And at the very time that you see these plants beginning commercial production, which everybody's been saying for so long needs to happen, the tax incentive that is put in place for produced gallons, it's not for anything else. You actually have to be producing the juice to get the tax incentive, is not available to them. You know, investors put their money into these facilities because the government had made a promise that there would be these incentives out there for them. And now, after the investments have been made, the juice is flowing, it's not there. So I certainly do hope that the Congress gets its act together and does pass the extenders bill, and I think they will.
Well, one thing I want to ask you about, price of gas has been going down. Lowest it's been since 2008, I guess, at this point. And from what I've heard, it's because the price of oil is going down, crude oil is going down. And there has been talk that this is going to impact our domestic oil production. And I just want to get your thoughts on that and what you think about the current situation as far as gas and oil prices.
I am seldom prescient, but I do recall last February when I was giving the State of the Industry address and I was speaking about all these developments with respect to fracking, that at less than $80 a barrel, those operations don't pencil out. And that it was one of the reasons why we ought not be so quick to want to walk away from our investments in renewable fuels. And the Saudis, I think, have become annoyed that the U.S. is indeed producing more and has decided that they want to try to break the back of these fracking operations and demonstrated that a cartel can do that. And so they are driving down the price of oil. Not really a surprise. If I can think of it, probably others far smarter than I maybe would have realized this a while back. But, you know, that's what's going on right now. Ethanol remains the lowest cost liquid transportation fuel on the planet today. And it's unlikely that the oils, or that the Saudis will be able to break our back. They can't. We are here to stay, thankfully. But I am concerned that all of the fervor about fracking is about to go up in smoke because the economics just won't be there. We will, however.
Well, and speaking of that, also we've had transportation issues this year as a result of the Bakken oil coming in, and they're kind of taking all the rail cars away. What's the situation with that at this point, and how do you see that improving or not?
I'm very concerned about it, frankly. I've spoken to the railroads, and I've suggested to them that, you know, while it's great that they're developing all this new business, I don't see it as a constructive business model to build new demand at the expense of your existing customer. And that's what's going on because the oil companies are getting the best service. You know, they are getting the cars, they are getting the engines, they are getting the crews, and the railroads too often are telling our guys to wait. We'll get to you when we get to you. And that's a problem. It's a problem not just for the ethanol industry. It's a problem for corn growers that are harvesting the single largest corn crop in history today and are going to need to get that product where it needs to go, particularly if the Corps of Engineers is going to shut down the Mississippi River, for crying out loud. You know, you'd hope that the rails would be there to pick up some of the slack, and they're not because they're busy catering to the new pretty girl on the block, the fracking queen. And, you know, okay, I'm happy for them, but we got other things. Coal is seeing the same kind of issues. The railroads need to get their act together, and they need to make sure that before they go out and solicit new business, that they're not doing it at the expense of existing business.
Well, the Saudis might take care of that.
They very well may.
Well, we can't talk without talking about the RFS. We still don't have the volume obligations for this year, and it's about time to get them for next year. What do you see happening?
I fear for my Thanksgiving dinner because I suspect the minute that I start to carve into that turkey, I'm going to get an email that Gina McCarthy has just signed the rule. I actually had this Friday in the office pool, but I think that's probably not going to happen. I do still think it happens sometime in November. I wish they'd get it out. Let's just be done with it. And I think everybody knows what's coming, and we know that while they will increase the number slightly, it's not going to be to a point where the market sees an impact. And it's hard to imagine that anyway. You're in November, and they're setting the standards for a year that's just about over. So thank you very much, EPA. The marketplace set the number this year, and EPA will likely set it to about what we produced. I think what's more important to us is what is the methodology that they rely upon to reduce the number at all? And I'm afraid that they are going to stick to the narrative offered to them by the oil companies that, oh, there's just no way we can offer any more than E10. We consumers don't want it. Cars can't use it. And all of that is bunk. And the fact that this administration has adopted the oil companies' narrative on this and is going to manipulate the statute in such a way as to conflate supply and demand and say that, you know, suddenly demand is the same as supply in order to get this done is just appalling to me. A president who wants his legacy to be about carbon is undermining the single most important carbon policy that we have in this country. A president who comes from an agricultural state, who seems to care about farmers. At a time when farmers are harvesting the single largest corn crop in history and need a value-added market more than ever, this president is going to tear the legs out from under this program. A president who purports to care about consumers is going to harm the price of gasoline even more. It just makes no sense whatsoever. And one has to just scratch the head at what this president is thinking.
Well, let's look ahead. We talked about the lame duck session. What about the new Congress coming in? Do you think next year's Congress is going to be even less productive?
It probably will. I am not among those that believe that just because the Senate has changed hands that all is lost. We've got a lot of bipartisan support. And the new members that are coming in, the Mike Rounds, the Joni Ernsts of the world, care deeply about ethanol as well. And, our life is probably going to be a little bit more interesting because the chairman of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee is Jim Inhofe from Oklahoma, who loathes the RFS, who wakes up every morning and thinks about how he can harm farmers and the ethanol program. So there will be hearings and there will probably be legislation introduced. And we're going to have to mobilize our troops and make sure that we still have the votes that we need on the floor. But fundamentally, the math on the floor of the United States Senate has not changed as a consequence of the election. And, we're just going to have to work all that harder. That's why the RFA actually just recently introduced an app so that advocates across the country are better able to help us and interact with members of Congress. It's a free app. Just go to your Droid or your iPhone app store. Type in RFA Advocacy, and you will have ready access to talking points, to the news of the day, to all the things that you would need at your fingertips to more effectively advocate for this industry. So,
Bob, we're here at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting's annual meeting, and what do you think about this event? You come here every year, you get to see farm broadcasters all over the country.
I love this event, but let me tell you why. It's not just because you get to do 25 or 30 interviews in a day. It's because you're interacting with real journalists. I have to deal with the coastal elite media that, get their news stories from the fax machine, where some PR firm, Edelman, has given them a story about, the energy issue of the day. They don't do their research. They don't do their homework. They don't verify anything. They just go with it. I come from a long line of journalists, and my forefathers are rolling in their graves today at just how lazy journalists have become. But here, farm broadcasters, they get out in the field. They're talking to farmers. They're talking to policymakers. They're talking to industry leaders all the time. And they understand these issues better than any Wall Street Journal or New York Times blowhard. And so that's why I enjoy this so much. It restores my faith in the Fourth Estate. And as the son of a television journalist, the grandson of a Boston Globe reporter, the nephew of a Boston Globe editor, I need to have that confidence restored because it has been destroyed by what I read in the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal every day.
Oh, Bob, we love you too. Always great to see you here at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting's Trade Talk. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.